Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
State lawmakers are now considering a proposal to put strict spending limits into the state constitution, tying the hands of future lawmakers who may want to invest more in public schools or early childhood or more services for people with mental illness. Here to talk about the so-called Taxpayer Bill of Rights and the Senate budget is Alexandra Sirota with the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center. Alexandra, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's jump in and talk about the Senate budget, which is the latest move toward a budget adjustment in the short session. Maybe we can talk specifics in a moment, but overall, what were your thoughts when you saw the Senate budget that passed?
Well, I think it's another example of just how flawed the idea is that we can use a formula to determine what our community needs. The Senate budget definitely demonstrates that there will be far more unmet needs in North Carolina communities as a result of the formula that they're using to set the spending target and as a result of the tax cuts that they continue to pursue.
The item that's getting all the attention is the teacher raise, but it looks like they're actually making cuts in other places to pay for it.
They're also cutting their revenue over time. We can't forget that they've already put in place a number of rate reductions that will go into effect beginning again in January. They're once again cutting $200 million out of the budget through a standard deduction proposal that won't be well targeted to the middle class. You know, in the end, that means that 1 year of teacher pay raises won't be able to be sustained over the long term.
It's interesting to hear Senator Berger, Senator Brown, Senator Jackson, a lot of other people were asked about why state retirees didn't get a cost of living increase. And their response was, we don't have the money.
And that's not true. North Carolina does have the money. The challenge is that our policymakers have decided not to collect the revenue under this flawed idea that putting money back to wealthy and profitable corporations will generate jobs. Well, that's not going to happen. We know from past experience and from the experience of other states that the best strategy is to invest in the things that get returns, educating our children, making sure our workforce has access to supports and training that can allow them to move ahead in their career. Those things aren't happening in the Senate budget. And as a result, they have constrained the choices they have.
I'm sure you've heard Governor McCrory and Senator Berger say that cutting taxes is the reason that our economy has rebounded.
Sure, everybody's heard that claim, but that claim has very little supporting evidence to it. The national recovery is underway. It has taken hold in North Carolina. It's certainly not strong enough to raise the wages of all workers in North Carolina. And I think if you talk to everyday North Carolinians, they're still seeing a lot of folks who are struggling to find work. They still see their community struggling to make opportunity available to everyone. And they themselves are still struggling to keep up with their own wages, keep up with the rising costs of basics.
So we're in a situation where we have the Senate budget that you described and the House budget. They're trying to work out the differences. The House budget, I guess, spends a little bit maybe in some better places, but seems flawed in the same way.
Right. I mean, both budgets constrain spending to this really arbitrary formula of population plus inflation, a formula that doesn't reflect the growing cost of delivering public services or the state's growing population and demographics. I would also say that because of the commitment to that, what we know is that over the long term, it will make it more difficult for North Carolina to thrive.
I want to ask you about those locking in those limits, but maybe you've touched on this a little bit, but it looks like we're actually, the lawmakers are claiming they have to choose between giving teachers a raise and giving state employees a raise, or giving teachers a raise and investing in mental health. And I guess you're saying that's a false choice.
Of course, yes. It's a false choice. It's a choice that they've created as necessary because they've limited the ability of our state to have the revenue needed to make smart investments in the areas across the board that are needed and to meet community needs. We could be doing that if we had not cut taxes for wealthy and profitable corporations. We could be doing that if we committed to making sure that the revenue we do have right now goes to unmet needs. You know, there's this notion that we need to set aside money for rainy days. Well, in both budgets, they aggressively do that. That's a problem when there are unmet needs today in our communities.
Let's talk about the formula that they're using and the efforts to actually write some of these things into the Constitution.
Yeah, this is a really bad idea for North Carolina. The idea that we would put into the state's constitution these kinds of arbitrary limits on what's possible in our state. We don't know what kind of unanticipated needs will arise in the future. We don't know what our communities will need. And our policymakers really need to have every tool at their disposal to implement a fiscally responsible budget. Limiting tax and spending choices arbitrarily isn't going to create smarter investments. It isn't going to lead to better economic outcomes for North Carolina.
I guess we have an example in the country of a state that has these limits in its constitution, Colorado. How have things worked there?
Not great. The Colorado case study is a cautionary tale for North Carolina. What we know is that it's led to significant cuts in public schools, begging the question, when we've already cut so much in public schools in North Carolina, what would happen if we pursued that same path? They've also seen significant impacts in public health for the smallest children, infants in their community, struggling to receive services. And they've seen challenges in the building of infrastructure, some of the very things that our state right now is contemplating. That's been more difficult in Colorado under Tabor. And it's the reason that there's a bipartisan group of business leaders and others who are leading the effort to educate folks that Tabor is really bad for their state. Certainly, we believe that it's very bad for North Carolina.
We touched about this earlier, the claims that tax cuts have sort of created this economic expansion we've had in North Carolina. Governor McCrory talks a lot about the Carolina comeback. What do you say when folks say, well, it looks like unemployment's down, these tax cuts must be working?
Well, unemployment is down because of the national recovery. But unemployment in North Carolina is also down because there are a lot of folks who aren't in the labor market right now who have given up, who we need to come back and look for work. Our greatest asset as a state is our people. And if we aren't making sure that jobs are available for everyone, then we're failing to deliver for that. So when I hear the claims of a Carolina comeback, I think of the many people who still are looking for work who don't have it. And I'm thinking of all North Carolinians. Most North Carolinians are still struggling with, again, their wages aren't growing in line with what it costs to just meet the basics.
A lot of people also have probably seen headlines in this spring about North Carolina having a revenue surplus. And I think a lot of the supporters of the current policies claim that shows somehow that things are working. How do you assess the claims of a revenue surplus proving something?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very difficult thing to prove. And so we don't believe that the evidence points to the tax cuts driving over collections of revenue. So the important thing is, just because there's more money coming in than we thought would come in, doesn't mean we have a surplus, doesn't mean we have what we need. We certainly don't. We know that there are unmet needs in communities, that we have less money coming in because of the tax cuts that have happened. Had those tax cuts not happened, annually we would have almost $2 billion at this point more to invest in public schools, to invest in public health, to invest in our parks. Those dollars that are coming in over collections are the result of a strong national economy, which is a good thing, but not the result of the tax cuts.
Well, thanks for all you're doing to help us understand all this, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Up next, helping children with parents behind bars. Stay with us.